Okay, quiet on set. Going for picture. Roll sound.
And action.
This is the lesson I learned to create that environment for the below line talent to feel valued, trusted, and safe.
Welcome to Passion to Power with your host, Michelle Zeitlin. She's a creative producer who quote-unquote wears many hats. She's also a talent and literary manager and founded the company Morzap Productions and Management. She develops people and projects across all media. Her guests encompass the gamut, from artists to authors, actors to activists. Please welcome Michelle Zeitlin, Passion to Power.
I have the distinct pleasure of interviewing a triple threat. Usually we say a triple threat is an actor, dancer, or singer. This triple threat, Maria Kapp, for a name that's very long and hard to pronounce, that she's going to pronounce, is a writer, a director, and a producer, and she wears many hats. Maria, will you say your name, your whole name, three times, slowly and clearly?
Maria Kapp, 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 short for Cappuccielli, Cappuccielli, Cappuccielli.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a cappuccino, 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 which sounds so really delicious right now.
Oh, yeah, cappuccino, but cucina means house, food, cafe, I think. So, But cappuccino, we would serve that in a cappuccielli cucina.
Oh, it sounds lovely. And where are you, Sicilian? Where's your family from?
Yeah, most of the family's been traced back to Palermo, Sicily.
Palermo. Yeah. But you are in Long Island.
Yes, I split my time between Suffolk County, Long Island, and Burbank, California.
Beautiful. So I've had the pleasure of getting to know you a little bit, Maria, and I have to tell you, there's a very excited audience, even through social media already, about this interview. I wanted to focus on the fact that you're very family-centric and very female-centric in this interview. First of all, it's great that there are more female directors breaking through that so-called glass ceiling, and there should be even more, and that you're creating a new generation. You're helping to mentor other filmmakers, your daughters are actors, you have a whole family that works together. It's very integrative, it's very optimistic, it's very positive messaging. I would love you to speak to that.
Yeah, so 2011, my eldest daughter was a student at Sarah Lawrence College, and the kids were always in the industry. And then I have a background in theater as a director, coach, choreographer, producer. So the energy surrounding the arts was always there. But Rafaela, needless to say, was a student at Sarah Lawrence College. She got a job, and then she got an opportunity to collaborate with Grammy producers, the Berman Brothers. And she did her first EP. And of that EP, one song stood out called So What, that we decided to create content and shoot a music video. So Rafaela and I collaborated together. We used my husband's advertising contacts and shot a music video with Screen Gems in the city. Rafaela used her musical theater background, and we created a very fun, sweet music video. In doing that and in doing it logistically and in an entrepreneurial way and the right way, Rafaela and I founded Cappuccielli Productions, which is a C Corp, and we founded it in New York, and we founded it as a result to create content going further. So mother-daughter situation. And as much as my daughter is separate and looks and seeks for autonomous opportunities, there's always pleasure to collaborate with her. And so what happened from the 10 year to the present day is that collaboration, not only with Rafaela, but also Natasha, my son, Steven, my niece, Veronica, my nephew, Emery. I've also coached and worked with and mentored my other niece, who's right now a wig master at Shakespeare in the Park in the city. And then there's others. I have a young woman who works for me now, who I directed when she was 5 years old on Long Island in a play. And she's my assistant, and I've given her opportunity to be on productions. And she's a graduate of Purchase, their communications and business. And, you know, I could just keep going on and on. But one thing I do want to say, and I'm so proud, is that even 10 years ago, when I first started and moved to Los Angeles, the first assistant that I hired, his name is Elliot, Enrique Estrada. And Elliot answered an ad that I put probably on social media or an entertainment site. He just graduated from a university with an engineering degree in North Carolina. And although he's not a woman, this did set up the model that I continue to use. And that is that he transitioned to LA alone, no family. I am a mother first and very nurturing and honest. And so the opportunity to hire him because he was pursuing his screenwriting degree. So he came to me with a great background, interviewed a lot of young people. And we started this remote virtual part-time mindset of flexibility. You go and apply to college. You go and find opportunities to better yourself. But work with me. This is what I need you to do. And any way that I can give you the opportunity to learn and grow to support your ultimate dream and goal. And that's the business model that I've used whenever I hire somebody emerging. Fast forward to the last situation we've done, which was the production of The Legend of the Lake Ronkonkoma, The Lady of the Lake. Feature film shot here on Long Island in Ronkonkoma, my hometown where I grew up as a kid. I had many first-timers emerging, female and male, but we were over 80% above line and below line, female, BIPOC, and LGBTQ+, for sure.
Yeah. You're checking all the boxes.
Yeah.
But doing it very organically, very honestly.
Yeah. I mean, so Elliot, I hired, and this is the model too, right? It continues. So that's like 10 years ago. Four Cousins and a Christmas is a feature holiday film that we released in 2021. Mar Vista's been handling the sales. And this year it'll be released on Hulu and Peacock. And I mean, you still can watch it. It's currently out there, but it's expanding its reach. But that, I gave Elliot his first screenwriting job. It was based on a play that Rafaela and I co-wrote with my niece, Veronica, and in 2018. And then I sent Elliot the script for the play. And I also sent him the outline and the ideas that I had for a feature. And I was pitching it, so I knew where I needed to go with it from a sales standpoint. So he definitely had some strong parameters and a story and based on kind of a thing, but I gave him his first screenwriting job. My next assistant is Jessica Miller. Jessica, hi.
Watch this.
Shout out to Jessica works for Warner Brothers, and she works in the art department, production design. She loves her job. She's basically a professional shopper, but she's in reunion and really a smart, sweet, kind, amazing work ethic young woman who is also, she found her niche. It's not exactly what she, I think, intended to do when she got out of college. She's also a writer, but she was also always an artistic. I met her from a colleague, Michelle Danner. She had worked for Michelle for a little bit of time, and we worked on a film together through Michelle Danner, who directed The Banded Hound with the late Paul Cervini, who was so sweet on set. Oh my goodness. And Jessica came and worked for me, and she worked for me for almost 3 years. And during those 3 years, she would leave and come back, and always communication and just management of time. And Jessica, I've hired to work in vocations that gave her the skill set to be able to move on and go. I'll never forget how happy and excited it was when she told me that she got hired to work on a TV show in the art department because she was leaving me and working in the art department on features, and just the people that she networked with just kind of leveled up, and they took her along the ride. But I feel like I was a part of that. And then we hadn't talked to each other in over a year, and a documentary that she may have touched upon, because it was one of the first pieces that I did visually, called Find an Identity, found a tone at the Burbank International Film Festival. And she showed up at the screening. And then we just reconnected. She lives down the road from me in Burbank, and I see what these young people are doing. And I'm proud and happy to see that they're moving forward and on their way.
So full disclosure for my audience, I reached out to Maria because she was doing a lot of family-friendly movies, what we call Escapist, Holiday, that Mar Vista space, that Hallmark space, that Lifetime space. And I really wanted to speak to someone that was busy in that space. And through assorted conversations, even before this recorded podcast, I decided I really liked Maria and she should be directing other genres, including Westerns. And we decided that we would really like to work together. So we're exploring that. And I want to know from Maria, if you could do anything with all those hats you wear, writer, director, producer, what would be the next bucket list project?
Oh, I love to direct. That's first and foremost. I absolutely love directing. I love every part of it, from the script, whether I wrote the script or not, looking at a script and really diving into the characters, understanding the story. And then I'm real visual, and then audio in a musical sense. Like when I read a script, something goes on in my head where visually I can see the images, which most of us do. Some people just more in tune to that. That's what we do. We create our own visual experiences based on our experiences, right? But I also have something that turns on in my head and music starts to play. I hear it, whether it's I'm creating it or it feels or sounds like something. I feel it. I feel the energy of the sound, the music. So if I had a magic wand to give me an opportunity, it would be to just get hired to direct. I'd love to explore the television world as well. I'd love to direct TV. And I've had the opportunity to be on set as a mother to my son, worked a lot in television as a child actor. And I have a couple of lady friends who have successfully gone on from other vocations into TV directing, and they're real successful. And so I think that would be exciting. But right now, it would just be to get hired to direct a feature film. I would love to direct a feature film for pay. And it doesn't really matter the genre, if it's something that taps into what I've already done and then I can perfect it or contribute to the vision of whoever is the main producer or the writer. A Western, as you mentioned, I mean, that's like crazy off to the left. But I don't think a Western, it's just like a genre, right? But it has compelling and interesting characters. It's the same thing. Right. And I just did a psychological thriller, which is what The Legend is. That is a little step out of the box. So going into post and adding those elements that elevate the story to create a thrill, a psychological thrill, is exciting. So yeah, hire me to direct your next project.
We love it. You use the term elements, and some of our audience members know what that means. Sometimes it means attachments. Elements can be people that we put above the line, the actors or the writers or the producers. What other elements would you describe?
Financing is
a big element.
It's the element, really. You know, it doesn't matter how amazing a project is, the financing is what greenlights it, you know, and then once the money's in place, it's like the floodgates open. So I think it's important to, and I've heard this before in all the years, all the conferences, all the panels that I've gone to, and everyone that I talked to, it starts with a good story, a good script, because then you can add the element of talent. Then you can add the element of other creative producers that add value to the team that is already in place. And what I mean by that is, I'll say an element would be relationships that can help get the project made. And it's so there's a level of financing, and then there's a level of sales to understand who's the end audience and where are we going to sell this finished project, this intellectual property, this commodity. So I think I answered your question. Those are elements that are very important when you're packaging, and then just being ready for when it's greenlit to fly through.
So tell me about this legend, this incredible story with Indigenous peoples, and how you came upon that story.
So I grew up in Rancagua. My parents bought a house about a 16th of a mile, it's probably even less, up the hill from Lake Ronkonkoma. exit 59 up the Long Island Expressway, which was, I believe, the last exit when my parents purchased their house. I'm from the Bronx. I'm actually from Castle Hill Avenue, which is J-Lo's block, the projects. So although I had this very Stand By Me kind of a neighborhood rural, that's what Rock Ocama and the lake was like, we still always went into the city to visit the extended family. I have huge influence of extension because of Italians. It doesn't matter because of Italians, just because that's the way my family is. So huge connection to and respect for elders and family members. So my parents raising a young family out in Rock Ocama, we enjoyed the lake, swimming lessons, learning how to be a lifeguard, having crushes on the lifeguard, sleigh riding down the hill, literally sleigh ride down the hill, leap, sleigh ride down another hill. And then there's the lake, ice skating on the lake, walking across the lake when you're not supposed to because it was dangerous, but the lake used to freeze, knowing when the lake was frozen, understanding the lake. And then with that said, also hearing and actually witnessing what it's like when there's an emergency and someone is having a problem in the lake and then potentially drown. I think there was one incident that sticks in my head. So I remember specifically, it was a thunder and lightning storm. I must have been about 11 or 12 and we were at the lake, my siblings and swimming, and I think my younger siblings were having a lesson. So there was like a section roped off, but the lifeguards blow their whistle. It's very urgent. Everybody gets out like as if there's a shark, you know, lightning, thunder, and everybody definitely panicked and gets out. And this was a regular thing. And then we would sit and watch the lightning and thunderstorm. I mean, it happened often. This one particular time, there was a young boy who was swimming beyond the lake. I don't remember, to be fair, an adult, a teen, a young boy. But what I do remember is that he had trouble and the lifeguards had to go in, ambulance had to go in, thunder, lightning, and rescue him. And so from that, there was rumbling and mumbling, even at 11, 12, about the legend of a princess, an indigenous princess, who takes the life of one male every year, drowning in the lake. So early on, that's about the years, you know, I did know of one teenage boy who drowned, but I didn't associate that with the legend. I just, you know, in a canoe drinking and going across the lake, water boat drinking doesn't go. And then just reports and again, mumbling. And then my parents would always say, as I became a teenager and we used to hang out and walk, you know, stay off the lake, out of the lake, don't go in the water, no lifeguard, don't go in the water. So I grew up with that. Flash forward, 2019, I'm in Burbank. I just finished shooting Four Cousins and a Christmas, getting it ready for post. And I'm always, my mind is always thinking, I'm not someone that doesn't have an idea. That's not the problem. It's taking the idea, seeing the right one, and then executing and focusing on it. So this really struck me. I think it was December of 2019 where I had the idea because it was an anniversary of a neighbor who lost their child. So parent losing a child, not to the water drowning, but to an auto accident. And knowing that family well and how it impacted. And here we are almost 40 years later, maybe 35, and still the impact, right? So it prompted me to just think. I should say I was also simultaneously taking a screenwriting class. And the challenge was to write a horror scene. I'd never written the genre horror. And what I learned from that class is to hone in on an authentic horror. What is human horror? And for me, timing-wise, it was a parent losing a child. So then everything just kind of flew in. I like telling stories that are coming of age, teens transitioning out of high school onto the next phase, horrific horror, parent losing the child, and then the lake. So I put together a pitch deck, put together an outline, started to create some characters. And now I'll flash forward to the pandemic. I ended up in 2020 coming here to the East Coast. I had rented our condo. So I ended up staying in my parents' house, my childhood home, up the block from the lake. And that's where I penned it. I wrote the script. And I wrote the script. And it basically is a coming-of-age story about a high school girl, Jamie, who wants to celebrate her graduation and 18th birthday. Except it's overshadowed by her parents' grief and mental health and the one-year anniversary of her brother's drowning and supernatural occurrences that haunt the once happy Schultz family. And that is the movie.
Wow. So you were one-stop shop. You penned the script.
Yeah.
And then you shot it as a director. And did you have other production support, or was this all the family-centric production company?
Family-centric production. So producer, first and foremost. You know that when you have a good idea or a script, right, it's a producer's job to champion it. And because this was my own and I really believed it and wanted to tell a story, and I did get interest early on and funding that fell through and then funding that fell through until I actually was able to get a partnership with a non-for-profit who sponsored me and allowed me to use their non-for-profit status and helped me and trained me and mentor me as a female filmmaker in raising funds in untraditional ways. And I raised more than 50% of the film's funds that way. So pre-production, development, packaging it, I was all with assistants who either started out as an intern or was my assistant coming off of Four Cousins. My niece was involved. Another young woman from Ronkonkoma, Sarah Basardi, was really a fantastic administrative coordinator. She worked for me for about 2 years. And then Anna Giulio, who's the young woman I mentioned before, right, directed when she was 5 years old. She's a Ronkonkoma girl who graduated school, started my internship program, and then continued on. And then a couple other people, again, from the internship and then having an assistant. My two daughters are always doing their own thing. And then whenever I need them and tap into skill set, or I have, whether it's putting together a deck, editing a sizzle reel, helping with emails, soliciting, putting together sales lists, whatever it is, they're involved. One daughter has a real good eye for casting and putting together talent lists. And the other daughter is really good with post creative editing, looking at pieces and then really having a good eye and helping. It's a huge task and it's an important task. And she's also a musician. That's the one that we did the music video 10 years ago. So yeah.
Right. I just watched a video last night that you sent me where it played on the word T-E-A, but also had all kinds of possibilities and this and that.
Yeah.
Tell me about that, because I saw pictures of former President Clinton visiting the
set. That's crazy. Well, that's just who I am. For whatever reason, there's always something interesting that happens on set. I mean, I've met so many interesting people, but this was a hoot. And one thing I have learned that you got to seize the moment, carpe diem. So here we are shooting a music video, which I'll talk about in a second, but we're shooting a music video. The actors very focused on what they were doing. We were literally in a take. We're filming, action going on. And then we cut. And one of the producers says, first of all, we were in a corner boutique. So you could see the street and everyone that was walking by. So one of the producers over there says, as I'm thinking about what we're going to do next and talking to the actors, I hear him say, oh my God, there's President Clinton. I just like, President Clinton, I see the president walking on the street. And I just like, I stop what I'm doing. I just run to the door, open up the door. And I said, hi, President Clinton. What a lovely day to be taking a walk. Oh my goodness, we see you. And we're like, it's crazy. Literally, that's what I said. Well, he turned around and I'm going to do a bad impersonation, but why, my dear, looks like you're having fun. What are you all doing in there? I'm like, well, we're shooting a music video. Would you like to come in and, you know, see where it's... So he comes in, his bodyguard and me come in. And for 35 minutes, I have footage. He gave us permission to record. I said, do we have permission to record this? Recorded. He came in and spoke to us for 35 minutes. And he, told us about what him and Hillary had planned for the day and asked what we were doing and what my job was and the young actors who were there. He got all excited about the young actress because she has played Jasmine in Aladdin on Broadway. And he ended where, I have to take a picture of you, my granddaughter, because she's going to be most excited about the fact that I met Jasmine from Aladdin. I mean, I tell you, it was crazy. So that's why that production, the highlight, was former President Bill Clinton walking by. We were in his neighborhood in upstate New York. And yeah, so that was fun. That was cool. And that is a fun memory to share. And then the music video was fun that, you know.
Yeah. Who was the gentleman?
His name is Brad. And he too, a beautiful, talented, experienced stage actor, flew in from the Midwest where I think he was like on tour doing a regional production, doing something. He was in town though, because the Goodbye New York cast did a concert of their album, which is a project that Andrew Beale and Evan McCormick and David Don Miller, who wrote the book, they have a play, a musical that they're pitching and getting ready to bring to the stage. And they're getting close. I've been involved with the project for about, I'd say, 2018, in and out as a producer to potentially adapt it and bring it to the screen, because I saw some of the concerts and performances. I heard the music. And again, music, I heard a concert performance and I saw a story unfold. So yeah, long story short there, I was very flattered and totally down with shooting two music venues for them. So Platonic Tea, very musical theaterish, you know, light, fun, and but they were pros, those two actors, and it was just really fun. The music was great. I loved it.
And they sang their own, that was their voices.
That's the recording from the soundtrack that Andrew and Evan did just recently wrap production on. And they did a studio concert at 54 Below the night before we shot that. So yes, that was their voices on the professional soundtrack. And then, yeah,
very cute. Very cute. I want to talk to you about your background, because you bring so much of your psychology and understanding of people to your work. Can you talk a little bit about your work you studied, and how you launch those people skills into your work skills?
Yeah, so I actually started first in corporate. I went to a business school that doesn't exist, but it was the best training that I received. It was called Katherine Gibbs School. It was really well known in New York City. There was a small branch in Melville on Long Island. It was a one-year program. And that's after I tried college and sang in a rock band and dropped out. Then I ended up in human resources in corporate for Columbia Pictures. So still entertainment. I got my SAN card when I was 16. So I have to say I've always been around this. But so I started in human resources and as an administrative assistant. I quickly moved up from recruiting staffing to a lead with a cold word processor, training and development for all the administrative assistants and secretaries that came up. From there, and the reason I say that is that I went out on my own. There's a lot of things in between there and there. But, you know, 20 to 24, I started an employment agency with my friend and then my sister. And we were located on Long Island, and we had the employment agency by day or by night. The two of us went back to school, and we both studied psychology together. She went on to continue her grad work in social work. I continued in a business slash creative way from there. But I got my undergraduate degree in psychology, and from the old Westbury, SUNY Old Westbury State School, I went at night and worked day. And then from there, I went to South Oaks Institute. I did a year program in behavioral studies, mostly addictive behaviors and related mental health. With that, I was very interested in understanding family dynamics and the insidiousness of disease and addictive personalities. And then from there, I ended up in LA for a couple of years with my husband because he had a job opportunity. And I studied with Ivana Chubbuck as an acting student. And I studied with her in her whole very Stanislavski based, but she developed 12-step method, which is based on 12 steps. And it's very psychological. It's very much about going into the depth of why a person is the way they are, fact, story, understanding, and then superseding, you know, substitution, Stanislavski. So that kind of cemented everything. My acting training of being on stage as a young girl and then a young adult. Again, I always did it. And then the psychology, the business, talking, training, teaching, understanding people, meeting them where they are, and then being in acting class and then taking my artistic sense, putting it in there and implementing it. So what ended up happening is I was a young mom also at the time, came back to New York on Long Island, and my kid had an affinity, not for soccer, but for theater, for acting. So I became a theater mom. And as a theater mom, I didn't just, you know, sit on the sidelines. I was a theater mom who produced, choreographed, directed, fundraised, and taught. What I ended up doing was I was teaching the Chubbuck method to young people, which is kind of hard to do, but I created a simpler process for them to have a foundation. So my children were trained in Ivana Chubbuck's 12-step method. And then when Rafaela, again, was finishing her freshman year, she wanted to study the Chubbuck method. couldn't find any place in New York, so reached out to Ivana. She said, come out to LA, get certified, and bring your daughter, put her in class, blah, blah, blah. So the whole family went out to LA. This was 2011. And we were there for the entire summer, and I trained with Ivana. She's lovely.
Ivana Chubbuck had obviously, Ivana had a great impact on you.
Yeah.
As a female, as an actor, actor, helping other actors direct.
Yeah.
Probably also in telling story. And I think directors have to be very intuitive people. It's funny because I worked with a famous director early in my career, Robert Zemeckis, but he was much more in tune with what the cameras were doing, the lighting VP that was with the actors. He sort of assumed that once they were at that level, they would take care of themselves. And it was really different for me to watch that process. Where he really stepped back from being in tune with what the actors were doing. I don't think he once gave a note. It was all about the technical. And of course, he's brilliant with his special effects and understanding of that. So I also, being an actress and a director choreographer, I love telling a story, and the collaboration aspect is really exciting.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful that you've had an ability to move through all of these different roles because you have compassion and understanding for everyone involved on the set.
Oh, yeah. The crew, it's a hard job to be, you know, the physical production. It's really hard. And so it's real important to make it as pleasant. Professional is one thing, right? Professional. But there's only so much time that we all have. And who knows how much time that really is. So you want to work, obviously, in a safe, professional environment. To me, that's like an understatement. That's obvious. That's like a given. But it's not. I've worked where it's not. So, but that's what you want. But then beyond that, you really want to work with people that you like.
Right.
And even if it's for that short moment in time and you never see or talk to them again, which hopefully you do, you refer them, they refer you. But it's a hard gig, physical production. It's long hours. And just to loop back to the Zemeckis, you know, what you described to be a technical director versus being a talent or an actor's director. I'm learning the technical and I love the technical. What I do always try to do in all the situations that I've been involved with is hire people that know their job better than I do, and they bring that to it. So it's kind of what you just described. The actors are at a level where he's focused in this other direction. But I guess my psychology degree, my people skills, I'm drawn to taking care and making sure that the actors have a safe environment, an environment where they feel safe and there's a trust to go to the place that they need to go to do what they need to do and do it at the level that they're at.
Movies like Reach is a good example because you had to take actors through experiences that required a lot of depth.
Yeah. And the thing with Reach is I didn't direct Reach. We hired a director for hire who worked for a very low fee for a very short amount of time. And on set with the actors, he did a fantastic job. He did exactly what I just described. He created a sense of trust. What he did in terms of doing the right thing for the actors to get the best performance, he was unable to do in full circle with the rest of the room. And so I would never work with that person again. And he's not in the business anymore. But I say that because there's a lesson there. There were so many lessons there. And myself, Johnny James Fiore, who played the role of Clarence West, and then Grant Harling, who played the role of Mr. Tony, we were all very green. And this was our first project. I led the way and cheered the way and did everything from the beginning to the end. Grant lent his talent and was an amazing young producer. I'd hire him in a heartbeat. And then Johnny James was the person that the story was really inspired and the catalyst for the whole thing about the power of kindness and how it can impact and change. So yes, important to create that environment from the director to the talent. And then it's also important, this is the lesson I learned, to create that environment for the below line talent to feel valued, trusted, and safe so that if they have a question or they have a suggestion, whether it's to elevate or because they want to make sure, all those elements has to be at. The director is, it's like everything flows around. So it doesn't matter if you get hired, you know, if you're a four-hire director or you're, and it's just you know, you're taking it through to the director's cut and then that's it, or you're going all the way and you're helping with all the elements of the piece. It's got to be collaborative and it's got to be that same thing.
I like that you said you like people to be happy and feel safe. It's always been important to me. And I used to do a lot of live production. I did hundreds and hundreds of industrials. I could tell you some funny stories with Long Island entertainment companies as well. But it was always, people always said, Michelle, I'll come work with you because I always have fun when I'm on a job with you. And that's really important to me.
Yeah. I mean, if you're having fun and you don't like it, and it was stressful, don't get me wrong. And then I had my people and I had beautiful people around me where I did what I needed to do at work so that they saw this energy, this momentum, this leadership. I want to work with you. What do we need to do to get it done? How many scenes? How many shots do we have to, like, all that? And then I go home and it's a lot of work.
Yes. So other than working around your local lake and telling these incredible stories and working in Long Island and Los Angeles, have you ever ventured abroad to shoot a movie or a TV show?
I have not. Although I will be going abroad with my daughter, Natasha, because she's studying graduate school and acting performance. So I'll be hanging out in Liverpool for a couple of weeks.
There's a lot going on in Liverpool.
Yeah. And I've also been to Edinburgh during the festival. And I'm excited for her because that's ultimately where she wants to kind of network and create.
I want to ask you for a little bit of advice for my listeners. So we have two primary listening pods, though I will say it's pretty across the board. We have the 18 to 26 that's now leaning into 18 to 32 age aspiring creatives on their yellow brick road to success. I use a lot of Wizard of Oz analogies. And then we have the pivoters, group I'm in, 42 to 59 analytics, many who have changed their lives dramatically during quarantines with a worldwide pandemic, which we seem to be coming out of, but who knows? If you could just give me a couple kernels of gold for each of those pods. First of all, those aspiring on their new career paths, and then those who maybe are making some dynamic shifts.
So for the younger folks, where they're, the possibility is just many, many decades in front of them, I would say try everything while being laser focused on one thing at a time. So if it's education, focus on your education, then in your education, try everything, because the end goal is to get an education and complete that. There's something about completing something, I find, that for me personally, not only personally, but when I look at others, the ability to complete something, to start it and then complete it. Of course, if you don't complete your education, but that's because you booked a big job and then your career goes off there, well, then that's something that you embarked on and that was another road that you completed. So try everything and then focus on the one thing. That's number one. Number two, you have to be kind to everybody that you come into contact with, I feel. It doesn't matter if you don't like them and you're not going to hang out with them. You still need to practice the exercise of treating people the way you want to be treated. And I'll tell you that I'm still learning and I'm like decades ahead. And what I mean by that is my weakness is that I allow, I'm nice. Teach, give. And in most of the time, there's a magnetic, that's what I want to say, kindness, magnetism. It comes back to you. But once in a while, there are people that take advantage of that. And it's interesting. Here's where psychology kicks in. Even though I have the ability to understand and be empathetic and consider where that person is coming from and why they're doing what they're doing, I still am human and will have a moment where I won't allow that to happen. So it's really important to be kind. And the reason I say that is I will not hire those people. I will not recommend. And I have learned that it is more of value to read the room and to be honest with the ones that will receive the information, and to read the room and not waste time on being honest with those that will not receive the information. That comes with, I think, experience. Although some of you young people take heed that that's what kindness is about. Doesn't mean being a pushover. It just means treating people with respect and professionalism and following things through. The other thing that I would say to the young people would be to really dream in specificity, in color, in music, like see it, feel it, smell it, hear it, and then work toward it. because it works. And then when you do that, you have to go backwards and really have concrete steps. It doesn't happen just by having a dream. It happens by action, taking concrete steps. And one thing, one small task a day is enough. Even if now we can transition into the other demographic, even if you're just transitioning and making a career shift or change, same thing, kindness and the manifestation of what it is. But you really need to have a very, very organized action plan of doing that one thing every day. And I can only say that because I had a dream. I could see it. I'm still not 100% achieved, like the thing that I see, but I certainly see today how all the things that I did over the last 10 years are coming at me in such a way that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be today, if that makes sense. So the other thing I'd say to my peers who are doing what I did, which is, you know, start in this business in the 40s, is it's never too late, never too late. And if, again, whether it's you're a producer and that's what you want to do, then seek out the best education, course, workshop, training, mentor, somebody that knows somebody kind of a thing. That is very helpful. That is truthful. And everyone is willing to give to someone that's coming up. It just depends on when they're willing and how they're willing. Not everybody is available to do so on the same level, but everyone is willing. I have not found anyone that hasn't been willing to talk about themselves, explain their story, and give you a little bit of a carrot to dip nibble on. So ask and ye shall receive. There you go. I don't need to be so, you know, biblical or simple about it. The other thing I would say is you need to be, again, take every opportunity and then again, focus on the one thing. When I focus, it's when I've achieved the most. So big picture and then focus on something. So I hope I gave your audience something to concrete to tackle.
That's amazing. And by the way, I love rabbits. So a carrot is always something I'm looking for.
There are so many different carrots I didn't know in colors.
So many carrots and so many types of bunnies. And I had a rabbit for 13 years, Bentley, who was the Rolls Royce of bunnies, and ate carrots, a lot of carrots, horses and bunnies, who knows? Maria, it's been an absolute pleasure. I know we're going to talk more and more. We're going to do a lot of creative stuff together. I thank you because these podcasts are being enjoyed by a cross-section of listeners around the world, primarily still in the U.S., a growing market in the U.K. because of the education from U.K. to L.A. across the pond. We have Australians, we have Singaporeans, we have Japanese, we have South Americans. It's very exciting. And it is primarily right now a female audience, but we have a growing male base as well. And I think a lot of our male listeners are feminists. They share in wanting their mothers, their sisters, their girlfriends, their friends to grow and become their best selves. And so for any aspiring creative, you just received kernels of gold from Miss Maria Kapp, and we hope you'll share and share again. This podcast is available on all the major distributors. It is distributed through Anchor FM. It is heard on Apple and Spotify and all the indies, like Radio Public is one of my favorite. And every single distributor has a way of sharing the content in their own special way. And I have received fan mail through LinkedIn, through the Passion to Power website. Are you on social media, Maria? Is there a way people can reach you?
Oh, absolutely. You can Google my name, Maria Kapp, C-A-P-P. Find me website, Facebook, Instagram. I'm not a Twitter person, but IMDb. And my email's out there, cappuccielli.com. People can contact me through my website easily and direct message me on social media for sure.
And what is your Instagram?
Maria Cappuccielli.
That's easy if you can spell it. All right, Maria, any last words?
Stay pat. It is the long and steady. It's the turtle, not the rabbit, that wins the race, right?
I like turtles and rabbits.
Yeah.
All right, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for sharing your beautiful home and your bright pink top for those people that are just listening and the pretty flowers. And I'm glad we had Emmy join us as well.
Well, thank you so much, Michelle.
So thanks very much for listening to this episode, and please share all the episodes with your friends and colleagues. We appreciate your ratings and comments on Apple Podcasts and on social media. If you'd like more information about our programs and our special people and projects, please access www.morezap.com, More Zap Productions for Talent and Literary. And if you'd like to book a special one-on-one coaching or a group clinic or workshop, please access passion-power.com and you can fill out our form there and make a request. Thanks again.